Welcome to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your official home for Jaguars football. AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio WOKV. Voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst, Jeff Loggeman. And Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Break down the last Jaguars game and take a look at the next time we take the field. Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Aetna. We want you to know the Jacksonville Transportation Group, the official transportation provider of the Jaguars, and by Prudential Network Realty, extremely full service. Now, to get things started, here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week. It's time for our annual mock draft here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Brian Sexton, the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman, Jeff Loggeman, and Joe Fortunato. But we've decided to do things a little differently this year because the Jaguars draft in the top 10 and because we have the new uniform, the new helmet, the logo, that stuff to talk about. And of course, Torrey Holt. What we're going to do here is
And the draft.
We're going to go just to the Jaguars pick right here in this first block since it's the eight. I'm going to read down it.
Plus, we're going to have this on Jaguars.com.
Mm-hmm. You know,
it'll be posted Jaguars This Week mock draft. You know, I don't know, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, whenever. But it'll be up there for people to see. If you want to read through it, we could read through it. But, I mean, you read.
People only care to get to the Jaguars.
Right, exactly. So I think that's the way to go. And if somebody wants to call in and say, hey, who do you have for Denver at pick 14?
We'll give you that. Yeah, Denver's at 12 and 18. And we'll do that for you.
We'll do that.
If you'd like.
But we're not going to read the whole thing.
No, so we'll go down to number 8 right now. And I'll just read through them real quick, and then we'll go back and talk about our methodology.
And then when we give you the Jaguars pick, we'll explain. We'll have some conversation.
Okay, here we go. Detroit, number 1, Matt Stafford, the quarterback from Georgia, blew him away at his individual workout with them last month. Number 2, St. Louis, they need an offensive tackle to replace Orlando Pace. Eugene Monroe from
Smart guy, University
Virginia,
of Virginia,
is about as good as they come.
Economics major.
Kansas City needs all kinds of help on the defensive side of the football, and I think Aaron Curry is the safest pick in the draft, regardless of position, so we give him to the Chiefs. We've talked about Mark Sanchez, the quarterback from SC. Seattle would grab him at number 4, but it's probably not Seattle.
They're saying Seattle is between Sanchez and Eric Crabtree. Michael Crabtree.
Right, Michael Crabtree. So there you go. That's really the fulcrum of this draft, or at least, you know, as far as the Jaguars are concerned, where things could start to fall. Cleveland at number 5, we give them Beanie Wells, the running back from Ohio State. They've got to get somebody to replace Jamal Lewis, and this is Fred Taylor.
He's from Ohio State.
Yep.
They passed on Ben Roethlisberger, Ohio guy.
Yep.
All right. They need to get a big back in that division who can carry the mail in the cold.
Right.
You better be able to have a smash mouth element to your offense.
And I'm telling you, this guy, in my opinion, I mean, this is
you love him.
Oh, this is a slab, man.
Oh, 6'1",
this is a slab of meters.
237.
237 pounds. He's run a sub-4.4 for the Jaguars in his pro day.
He
could end up being the best guy in the draft.
Cincinnati up next. If you look at Cincinnati historically, their best drafts, their most productive drafts, have included an offensive lineman at the top. 96 when they grabbed Willie Anderson. A couple years ago, Levi Jones. So Cincinnati grabs Andre Smith, the offensive tackle.
Dave Remington, a center years ago. And then they had, who was the
two
guard?
Two Hall of Famers.
Max Montoya. Max Montoya, that's the guy.
Well, and then, of course, Munoz. Anthony Munoz.
That's yeah.
Yeah, right. So, pretty good.
They had a great offensive line.
Yes, sir.
So when you go back and look at their drafts historically, their best drafts have always included a first-round offensive lineman. They need the help, obviously, having lost Stacey Andrews in free agency. So Andre Smith from Alabama goes there.
Now, I'll say this about Andre Smith. There are 4 players who I believe will be true candidates for the Jaguars if Aaron Curry goes where we think he's going to go.
Right,
I mean,
3.
If he was there for the Jaguars, he's the guy.
Right.
But if he gets past Kansas City, some people think he could fall all the way.
Which, Brian, you've got somebody in Kansas City.
Yeah, I talked to some folks in Kansas City that really believe that Kansas City is going to shock folks and take Tyson Jackson, the defensive end from LSU.
And if that was to happen, Aaron Curry could fall. And if he fell to the Jaguars, he'd be an easy pick for them. He's a great guy, salt of the earth. Great football player.
Highest rated player in the draft on most people's boards.
And he would plug in here at middle linebacker.
And it's not just my contact in Kansas City that has that. Peter King even had that in his draft. And Pioli loved Richard Seymour, drafted him, thinks that Jackson is a Richard Seymour clone. So, I mean, that could be a real upset in the top 3.
In Peter King's mock draft.
Right.
Since Kansas City did not take him.
In King's, he did.
Oh, he did.
In King's, he put them in there and had them taking it.
Had them taking
Tyson Jackson.
Okay, and on his
we
draft.
We didn't do that because that's a reach.
No, I understand that. But since in your where information, where did he have Curry going to?
I have to go back
to?
And look at my email.
I'd be curious
and,
about
and
that.
Find out because I got that his draft via email from Sports Illustrated.
Everyone has Curry going to Kansas City.
Right.
But, you know, I'll go back to 1987. Rod Woodson fell all the way to 10. Why? Mike Junkin, a linebacker from Duke, was the third pick of that draft by the Cleveland Browns. Off the wall, surprise pick by Marty Schottenheimer, no less. And then the Cardinals followed that with Kelly Stopher.
Kelly Stopher, right.
And there you had these two surprise picks that screwed up the whole draft, and it made somebody like Rod Woodson fall all the way to 10. So these things have happened,
sure.
And they can happen, and almost will happen again.
All right, so to continue with our draft here, Oakland is up next. It would make sense. They would go for a big guy, an offensive lineman, Tom Cable, the new coach, is an offensive line coach. But
he ain't calling the shots.
It's Al Davis. He sees Jeremy Maclin being another Tim Brown.
They just got a quarterback.
So there you go. And that leaves the Jaguars at number 8.
The choices are at this point, Wells is gone. Andre Smith is gone.
Sanchez is gone.
Those three guys and Michael Crabtree I consider to be their four true prospects. Well, heck, there's only one left.
Right. Michael Crabtree, the wide receiver from Texas Tech, who we are selecting in the mock draft because of the way things have fallen in this draft. To round up the top 10,
let me ask
PJ Raji goes to Green Bay, and then Brian Arapco, the pass rushing end from Texas, goes to San Francisco.
Question for you two. If Crabtree is there at number 8,
yeah.
There's been so much talk about the possibility of a trade down with Sanchez being there at 8.
Sure, and if they get that, they'll take it.
Does Crabtree have the ability to draw interest from other teams to trade up?
Absolutely. A Philadelphia, who has two picks in the first round, would certainly come up for a Crabtree, a Michael Crabtree.
Well, the Jets don't have anyone now that Lavernius Coles is gone. They could come up, too. And
yeah.
They've been talking about coming up for Sanchez.
So, sure, you would have teams come up, and the Jaguars would love to get out of this pick. It's very, very expensive. There's real quality at the bottom. And here's the thing with Crabtree. Number one, he's had this surgery, and he's got a screw in his foot. The Jaguars believe, and Gene Smith said this yesterday at the draft preview luncheon, that the surgery isn't a problem. They're fine with that.
Because John Stewart, the running back from Oregon, who was drafted last year by Carolina, had the same surgery by the same doctor and had a very good year.
You know, but this injury has also ruined some careers too. Kevin Jones is a guy who had a great rookie year and then his career was ruined with a foot injury. But who's there? There's one guy in particular. Oh. The Duke basketball player, Grant Hill.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
All right. Didn't do him any good.
No, it didn't.
All right. But anyhow, I forget what I was going to go with. Oh, the thing about Michael Crabtree that is creates the most anxiety about him is, when is the last time a wide receiver was drafted in the top 10 for whom a team didn't even have a 40 time? This guy, because he's an underclassman, didn't work out junior days.
Right.
He didn't run at the combine. He didn't run at a pro day, a personal workout. No one has a time on this guy, and he wasn't a burner to begin with. You know, that's the kind of stuff that makes a personnel director get a little tight.
Yeah. Well, it's just a mock draft. We took it. You know, we could have made it, folks, so that Andre Smith fell to the Jaguars. We could have arranged it anyway. But we went with the worst-case scenario, the most difficult decision that Gene Smith and his group would have to face on draft day.
Given that situation, guys, I do believe he would be at the top of their board.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Vic and Jeff are with you. I'm going down the hall to introduce my final installment of a three-part series exclusive with Gene Smith on Action News on CBS 47. These guys are back next with more Jaguars this week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
Back on Jaguars this week, we took you through the top 10 picks of our mock draft for this year. And, you know, the one thing that I really hope, and I expressed this to General Manager Gene Smith today at the unveiling of the Jaguars' new uniform, I just told him I wish him all the best. I hope it's a successful draft it presents the opportunities that he desires. You know, you want him to see do well. And so I'm not a big draft, Nick. I know you follow it very closely. My thing is that tell me who they pick. I hope they're good, and I'll look at them when they get here and they put on some pads. That's where my evaluation starts.
Yeah, they're going to do fine because this is truly, Jeff, the dawn of a new day, the dawn of a new age. The way things were done are not. It's not going to be done like that any longer. Come on, best available player Reggie Williams. Come on, why would you tell us that? You never saw anything from the moment you saw him to the last moment you saw him. You never saw anything that would lead you to believe that he was a top 10 pick. You know, when you draft quarterback, wide receiver, tight end in 4 years,
it can't be the BAP.
Yeah, yeah.
It just
exactly.
can't be. It doesn't work that way.
Now, Gene, at the draft preview luncheon yesterday, defined best available player, and he's. And it was, I asked him point blank, will you, in fact, no lying, and if you're going to lie, wink, draft the best available player? And he said, yes, given two other considerations.
And they are?
They are medical and character. If a guy is at the top of our board and he checked out medically and he checked out character-wise, he's the pick. If he's at the top of our board and we have negative concerns about his character or his medical condition, then we may not pick him.
Okay. Fair enough.
Well, see, what he's saying is they're factoring in the medical concerns and the character concerns at the end.
Ah.
They're not putting them onto the
board.
Right. They're doing their board strictly. They're ranking their players on their board strictly according to ability.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now this draft may have more off the field concerns in it, more players with off the field concerns than any draft I have ever.
And I think the reason for that
teams are more sensitive.
Is that it? Absolutely. There's so much more attention being brought to that with the arrival of Commissioner Roger Goodell, and that the media has now said, we've got to start talking about character and off-the-field issues with these players, especially with Pac-Man and the running back from Ohio State who was drafted by the Broncos. And is he in jail now?
What was his name? The kid from Warren. Doggone.
Wasn't he a Pennsylvania guy?
No, he's from Warren, Ohio.
Okay.
Paul, which is on the border.
Anyway.
What was his name?
I'm drawing a blank.
Mark, not Marcus.
Doesn't matter.
Anyhow.
Doesn't matter. But, I mean, obviously that is first and foremost on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, now I'm looking
especially with the money.
I'm looking up at our mock draft, and I see Andre Smith. There's concerns about him because mm-hmm. he's got some, you know, leaving the combine.
Yeah, but he doesn't have drug or arrest issues, you know, and obviously with the Florida kid,
Percy Harvin, major concerns. Hakeem Nicks from North Carolina, concerns.
B.J. Raji,
concerns.
Boston College, best-ranked defensive lineman in the draft.
I'm going to tell you, Michael Crabtree is not getting the good housekeeping seal of approval. All right, you're hearing things about him having a little posse, and being from the dark side of that line. Well, you can cross over real quick if you just drop this guy or drop that guy from.
Well,
your...
and the reason is that some guys can't let go of
the past.
You know, they're guys. Mm-hmm. Well, Michael Vick's case, those guys didn't help him stay out of trouble. Now they ran his kennels in Virginia, and so I think the concerns about an entourage is rightly so. I mean. Because sometimes you have to be able to, I don't want to say detach, but separate yourself from some of those types.
I'll never forget this, Jeff, and I'm going to talk about a guy that we know here, Larry Smith, defensive tackle from Florida State, played here. Mm-hmm. Really talented guy. Jaguars obviously liked him a lot because they picked him.
Second rounder that had a first round grade.
That's right, exactly. But they were told, I think it was Mickey Andrews who told them, that he's a guy, and was he from Folkestone?
He needs to go to Green Bay is basically what he said.
Seattle. They were told Seattle. He needs to get as far away from home. I think it was Folkestone, Georgia?
I don't know. I think it was Folkestone.
Okay. They were told that he needed to get as far away from home as possible. And, of course, he didn't, and Larry had problems.
Yeah. Didn't do quite as well as he thought. Anyway, the Jaguars uniform unveiling was today, and quite the scene. Joe Zelenka emceed it, who I thought did a wonderful job, and it was streamed online, jaguars.com. Wayne Weaver spoke, head coach Jack Del Rio spoke, and then they showed the new logo, which my impression was it's kind of old school.
The new logo?
The
cat head.
No, not the cat head. The Jacksonville Jaguars part.
Oh, okay, yeah.
The lettering.
Yeah, okay, the font. The new
and
font.
I like it.
Okay, yeah.
I like the old school approach. It was more simplified, a little elegant, and then the cat head was tweaked slightly. Then they showed the first player out with the new uniforms, and he was covered up in a
blanket.
It was a winter coat.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, like a sideline winter coat. And he takes it off. It's Maurice Drew, and he's showing the new Jaguars jersey, which I like because the home jerseys will now always be teal with white pants. And the thing that I liked about it, it was simplified. It had a helmet. The helmet was fantastic. It's got this kind of glitter that's got a teal glitter and a black paint. And it's not only on the helmet, it's on the decal, and it's on the face mask. And they had the people there from Reebok to talk about the technology with the helmet and how they got the paint in there. But then also, the jersey and the pants are a material that is supposedly 30% lighter, microbacterial, which I guess kills bacteria, things that make you smell, so the Jaguars will smell good on the field, and are more spandex tight, very tight fitting. It looks sharp.
Yeah.
Did you like it? I mean, just put a pair of pants on.
I'm okay with it. I thought it looked good. I really did.
The numbers were big. You're going to be able to see them from
the
press box.
Yeah, the numbers look good. I like it's a cleaner look. I still don't like the black pants stuff.
Okay.
Because I would prefer white on white.
The away jerseys will be black. The away jerseys will be black.
White jerseys.
Black pants
black
with
pants.
White jersey.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy about that look. But I'm most concerned about the home look. And I think that the idea is that the home team gets the choice to display its colors. And this team's color is teal, and it is going to display teal at home, and I like that.
Yeah, I like it. And I like the simplified look. It just looks cleaner. There's and with the Jaguars lettering style, it has kind of two lines that come off the J and the S on Jaguars. And in the jersey, that kind of line, the slashing line, it's not a swoosh line, but a slashing line, is incorporated in the uniform right about in the chest area and then also on the side of the pants. Kind of like the Denver Broncos, but it's not so big.
It's an S-curve.
Not big.
The stripes, so to speak, because they're not stripes, on the sides of the pants are in a very subtle S-curve shape.
Yeah, an S-curve kind of goes from the chest, under the armpit, and across up to the back, right, Joe?
Does it? No.
University of Miami has that?
Okay, there's an S curve down the side of the shirt?
No. It wraps under the underarm and then comes up the back.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it looks great.
I liked him.
Yeah, I liked it. And that's when Wayne Weaver said that this is what we will always use from this point forward. And I like it. And they showed all the different logos that they've used in the past, the slight tweaks in the uniform over the years and the changes in the colors. And I remember back when the jerseys from the early days, you had the Jaguar full, picture of the cat on the sleeve. And then the numbers had multiple colored, and it was kind of a heavy jersey because it had a lot of layers to the numbers.
But I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm going to be honest with you. I still prefer the uniforms you guys wore in season number one.
That's the one I've always liked.
I mean, the teal numbers, the all white on white with teal numbers before November at home, and the teal jerseys with white numbers. I don't like shadowing and shading and outlining. I just like a plain dark number. block number on a white shirt and a plain white block number on a you know, the other way. And I if they would have just gone back to what you guys used, I'd have been fine.
Well,
with that.
The one thing I think from a player standpoint that a lot of people aren't going to see in the news broadcast from Brian Sexton, but maybe at some point he'll explain it.
Okay, what do you want me to explain?
Is that the technology that's in the jerseys, and that the teal jersey, many people say, well, the darker the color, the more heat that it holds. There's some technology that Reebok has incorporated that is actually 16% less heat retained than a white jersey, and this
antimicrobial
technology. Yeah. So it should make the players cooler, lighter, but hopefully faster.
But you got to believe it. Every team's going to have that same material, right? I mean, it's
soon.
Not like
yeah,
you're
it's Reebok makes all jerseys.
Well, absolutely, at some point. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of teams that don't prepare for maybe one game a year that's in the heat.
It's true.
So they're not going to have it.
Right.
So anyway, I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
Joe Zielinka, kudos to him. He did a great job, had his note cards. He was prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Del Rio spoke. Gene Smith did not speak. But a great job.
That's not Gene's kind of thing.
No.
I promise you that is not.
No.
The runway, you know, for fashion.
Let me just add, they had Maurice Drew was the first one out, and then Rasheen Mathis, Scott Starks, Greg Jones, who looks like, you know, Adonis. I mean, the guy's just.
And doesn't David Garrard in that photo
stacked.
Look like he's about 11?
David Garrard looked great, looked light and lean. And then they brought out the big guys, Derek Landry, Mo Williams, and, of course, Brad Meester. And to be
Derek
honest,
Landry's
folks,
trying to gain weight, right?
They did not look as good as Maurice or Greg Jones.
Derek Landry looked
big. They're not runway material. I'm sorry. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. The whole Three Amigos will be back in action.
To talk to Brian, Vic, and Jeff, dial 355-NFL-1. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on AM 690 and 106.5 FM, News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Did you even get to ask anybody about quitting khaki pants with the Jaguars uniform?
Well, you know, years ago, that's what I wanted to do.
No, I know. You've mentioned it.
I wanted to see them go with gold pants.
I actually saw them, and they look good.
Did they really?
Yeah,
you saw them?
Yeah. They had a couple samples in. And looked very sharp.
I wanted a gold pair of pants and a teal shirt for home games and a white shirt for road games and black helmet, and I thought it would look great.
Gold is all but disappeared in the jerseys. It's only in the logo now.
That's it.
Yeah. On the jerseys, it's either teal, black, or white. So, all right, are we done with the fashion side of it?
Yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure if you had any more fashion tips for people that
I wrote for my column tomorrow. That one of the most identifiable, recognizable uniforms in all of sports is Notre Dame's, and it don't have a stripe on it.
Never changed.
You know, but you see, they won a lot of games.
Yeah.
Well, Penn State's in the same category.
I mean, there's a lot of these. Michigan's helmet.
Consistency is the key.
If Delaware's invents that helmet, they wear the same helmet. But if Delaware invents it, it's laughable. But because Michigan
won,
because it came from Michigan, it stands for something. It's about winning. If you have the best looking uniform in the world and you lose in it, it's ugly.
True enough. 355-NFL-1. Again, you guys go through it one more time for folks. Stafford, Monroe, Curry, Sanchez, Wells, the top five to Detroit, St. Louis, Kansas City, Seattle, and Cleveland. Cincinnati takes Andre Smith in our mock draft. Oakland, Jeremy Maclin. And then, of course, we give the Jaguars Michael Crabtree. And again, we explain it as four or five guys the Jaguars had targeted all are gone in our mock draft except for Crabtree.
Now, what if?
There we go. This is the one
I wanted to create. What if Crabtree goes to Seattle?
Which is a possibility.
Okay, so we're going to discuss a couple possibilities here. Crabtree goes to Seattle, and Sanchez makes it down to the Jaguars. Ding, 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 ding.
Trade time.
Oh yeah, and I mean they're going to do some business. This if that happens, this could be a draft that kicks this team into a run of real good fortune. They could do some business.
What could they get? Could they get both of Denver's first-round picks to move into eight? Would they want it for the money?
Yeah, you wouldn't get that. What you'd like to get is switch ones and get an extra two and an extra three.
Okay.
That'd be just fine. That'd
right.
be just fine.
So would you take the 18th pick from Chicago, or would you take the 12th pick?
I'd like to have the Jets pick at 17.
Okay.
And you know what? I'd like to have the Jets first-round pick next year, too.
All right. Yeah,
okay? I won't even need another pick this year.
Right.
Give me your one next year, which I think will be real high.
So what you're saying is the Jets are not going to the Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Sanchez ends up being their quarterback, then...
Yeah, he's a rookie, absolutely.
But I'm just... Actually, what I'm trying to say is Sanchez is the pivotal guy in this draft. He's the guy that teams want to come up to get. He's the guy that teams want to have fall to them so they can trade that pick to teams who want to come up and get him.
Right.
So that's one possibility that Seattle drafts Crabtree at four. They're said to be high on him, and Sanchez falls to the Jaguars. Although Terry McDonough, the Jaguars director of player personnel, said yesterday he thinks it's unlikely Sanchez could make it down to them. Now here's one more. Crabtree's gone. Sanchez is gone, and when the Jaguars go on the clock, and Andre Smith is gone.
Okay.
And when the Jaguars go on the clock, Beanie Wells is available, and he's at the top of their board. Ooh. Now, this is tough. And you know, with all due respect to best available player and there's alleged commitment to it, man, that's going to be tough to walk down the hallway or turn to Wayne Weaver and say, hey, boss, going to need you to do the same deal again. You know, the one you did for Maurice Jones-Drew, you're going to have to do it all over again. And, in fact, this guy might even get a little more.
Carolina did it, right?
Jonathan Stewart? You mean D'Angelo Williams 1 year and then Jonathan Stewart?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah,
it's
they
worked
did.
Pretty well for them.
Yeah? Yeah, it did. Although Jonathan Stewart was a low first-round pick.
Well, so was D'Angelo Williams. He was, what, 26?
Yeah. Maurice was the second.
We're talking $18 million here. You know, Derek Harvey got 17.5 last year, so you can count on 18 for this pick this year. So, I mean, what if Beanie Wells was at the top of the board and there was a gap between, you know, a true gap between him and the next guy, which could happen?
Looking at some of the other guys whose names are near where the Jaguars
Andre
are.
Andre Smith, let's talk about him.
All right.
He's, I think, the fourth legitimate candidate for this team. Sanchez, Crabtree, Wells, and Andre Smith.
Well, isn't he the guy
Let me pose this question to you. If they have Sanchez and Smith both available, who would they take, or would they trade?
Sanchez. Oh, no. If they can trade.
But trade would be priority number one, you think?
I think Sanchez is higher on their board than Smith. No one has told me that. I'm just guessing.
Back to Smith. He is a guy that they have intimate knowledge of because
Mike Shula
was on the staff. Right. Big guy, probably the best offensive tackle in the draft, right? He's not in a position to be the number one pick because...
No, Eugene Monroe is the best offensive tackle in the draft.
Really?
He will be in the starting lineup for somebody on opening day.
But long-term, Andre Smith is not a better prospect?
Better run blocker, but Eugene Monroe is just an accomplished pass blocker, and we are heading more and more into a pass-happy league.
Unless you're in this division with the Steelers, the Ravens, the Browns, the Bengals.
That's carnivore football. They do something there. I don't... with which the rest of the league is not familiar.
Eugene Monroe, though.
Oh, he's a fabulous
He's number one.
Blocker. He kept Brandon Albert at guard. Brandon Albert
is going to be the Chiefs starting left tackle.
Fabulous left tackle, and right away. He was last year. Late in the year, he had won the job.
Okay.
And Eugene Monroe kept Brandon Albert at guard at Virginia. That's all you need to know.
How about the other offensive tackle prospects, just since... we're in that neighborhood.
Okay.
Jason Smith from Baylor is a guy who many folks have, and I throw it out there for what it's worth, have had high in their mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other
first or second pick?
Yeah, yeah. And then the other guy is Michael Oher, who is from Ole Miss.
Well, Jason Smith, I don't get it. This is just me speaking, although not really. I know some other people who don't get it. I don't get it. 2-point stance guy at Baylor. Arakpo was injured, so he didn't play against him. And the best guy he played against all year was Cody Brown, a too small defensive end from UConn who is going to have to make the move to a rushbacker 3-4 scheme, and he'll probably be a mid-rounds pick. And Cody Brown, he ran him around. Forget the stats. Baylor had has a young mobile quarterback, and he was on the move all night long in that game. Jason Smith spends way too much time on the ground for me. He's a two-point stance guy. He's a pass blocker. I don't get it. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if on Saturday, Mel Kiper is, Jason Smith is still available. I don't know what's happened here.
Can I read you something? And it's from a guy that you know well, Tony Pauline. Okay. And I think you still respect him, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. He writes, so Smith is a prospect who's been moving up draft boards the past 6 months, and he has solidified himself as one of the draft's three top selections.
Mm-hmm.
Top three selections.
Now we talked about this.
He's a terrific blocker who should quickly move into a starting lineup at the next level, and his game will only improve as he physically matures.
Mm-hmm. If he was to be available, ask me, if he was to be available for the Jaguars, do you think the Jaguars would pick him?
At number eight?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I mean, you've been giving us four options.
I don't think so either.
And
I guess what I'm asking is he sliding down everyone's board?
No,
I mean, Tony Pauline is a guy who obviously
Tony and I argued on this.
Did you? Okay.
He played against nobody this year. The guy at Nebraska ate him up too. I don't get it. I'm completely lost on this. He's a guy. He looks like he's too top heavy.
He's very narrow in the lower body.
Yeah. And his balance isn't great, and he spends way too much time on the ground, and this one just completely baffles me.
All right, Ower?
Oh, great.
I saw him at the
Senior
Bowl.
Great story, big physical specimen, fantastic, except, you know, I mean, they say there's a learning disability there. He spent, 17, 18 years on the street, or 15 years on the street, right. Whatever, 10 years. There's this wonderful story about these beautiful people who picked him up off the street and brought them into their home and changed his life. And then Ole Miss helped, you know, change it a little more. And it's just, it's the kind of thing, you know, the violin music plays when you hear the story. And you root for him, but, you know, he's going to cost you millions and millions of dollars, especially if he's a top 10 pick. I think that the risk factor has to move him down.
When we come back, I want to know who do you think wants to trade up?
All right, let's do it. Mm-hmm. One final break, one final segment. Jaguars This Week, our annual mock draft. When we return on News Talk Radio WOKV, depend on it. Welcome back. One more segment of Jaguars This Week. I know you have a question you want to ask.
Yeah, it's Vic. Mm-hmm. Rumors. People have been calling the Jaguars about trading up.
It was hinted at. I have to draw that line between what did I hear before, or what did I hear during, and what did I hear after. You know,
right? Well, because Terry was talking about McDonough was saying yesterday that at the luncheon that the phone was ringing,
right,
and he was taking offers.
They're getting
down.
Offers, right? Exactly. Well, Philadelphia with two picks in the first round, clearly a team that wants to move up, would have reason to move up. The Jets, clearly a team that needs a quarterback, and a quarterback for now and the future. And with these guys like Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco and Ben Roethlisberger a few years ago hitting home runs in their rookie year, it seems like the old axiom about, rookie can't take you to the Super Bowl or can't take you into the playoffs is
went away.
Asunder.
Right.
The Jets would be a team. Denver, certainly a team now. They've got Kyle Orton.
A lot of picks.
But they want better than Kyle Orton.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Orton's just filling the hole.
Yeah, he's
traded away a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Oh, right. Wow.
So there's three right off the top of my head. Buffalo's got a couple picks, do they not?
Yeah, because they traded Peters.
Right. Oh, that's right. They've got Philadelphia second.
Yeah. No, that's right. Philadelphia no longer has
them. Philly has one.
They have Buffalo has one of them. So, no, but would Buffalo? No. I think Trent Edwards is their guy, and I don't think they'd want to move up. So that's a shame there. So forget all that, what I said about Philadelphia. That's
you know too a team. Bad. You know a team that should move up? Minnesota. They don't have a quarterback.
Do they have the ammunition to move up?
Oh, no. They're a 22. Yeah. They don't have one.
Can Minnesota afford to move up?
But you take their one, their two, and their three.
Yeah.
Can they afford? Who knows? But that's a team that needs a quarterback.
I'm talking financially.
Well, no. They can't.
I mean, that's a franchise.
That's a franchise that's having some serious financial difficulties.
Washington would like to move up, but they don't have the ammo.
No. Let me change.
Yeah, but they'd sell the farm. They'd sell the future to do something.
I don't know how much they have left.
That's a good question.
Let me throw something different at you real quick in the 5 minutes we have left. Where does Pat White go?
Third round. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. Quarterback.
They would love to have him here.
Receiver, quarterback, and do you find a role for him?
Don't forget that quarterback stuff. Where he goes, if he was to go here, he would come here as a wide receiver prospect and a guy in whose hands they would put the ball in special ways.
Okay.
But a true quarterback, no. He's not a true quarterback prospect. His delivery is too long, too long. He does the same. He makes the same mistake Tebow makes. Overstrides.
Okay.
Steps way out, and then the ball sails.
Hey, I just saw another mock draft that has Tyson Jackson to Kansas City.
If Tyson Jackson gets picked number 3 by Kansas City, Aaron Curry, in all likelihood, or not in all not
well,
in all
likelihood. Well, because this next one has likely, Aaron Curry going to Seattle next. So
No. I'm hearing the Sanchez and Crabtree. Aaron Curry could make it down to the Jaguars if Tyson Jackson. What? Kansas City would do that again after screwing it up last year
with
Glenn Dorsey and an LSU lineman.
Yeah.
And then you're going to draft another LSU lineman that would be just a gigantic reach. A gigantic reach. He is not a third pick of the draft type player. A lot of people are saying about Tyson Jackson, you know, he can play a four. He can be a 4-3 end, or he can be a 3-4 end. But which is he? I mean, he's not this. You know, this isn't a
6'4", 300.
This isn't a Lawrence Taylor type guy. What was Lawrence Taylor? Was he the third pick of the draft?
That's a good question.
Third pick of the draft has been a great spot. I mean, there have been some great players who have come out of that hole. And
but there may be
last year, Matt
announce.
Ryan yeah. was the third pick of the draft.
Right. Let me ask you this. And Joe just brought up a good point, and that if Curry falls past 3,
mm-hmm.
past 1, then are these teams, they don't adhere to the best available player philosophy? He is by far the highest rated player on everybody's draft.
He's not a pass rusher. He's not a blitzer. He's not what you call an
enemy. Then why would he have that high of a rating?
A lot of people are comparing him to A.J. Hawk. A.J. Hawk came out with a great reputation just like Curry, but he's been kind of a dud. He's starting for Green Bay, and he's okay, but what was he, 6th pick of the draft?
He was a top 7 pick, yeah.
Okay. He hasn't been equal to where he was selected, and people are saying, well, it's because he's not an impact guy.
What
he's
does
just
he
a
project?
Tackle machine.
So he's not a pass-rushing linebacker. He is a
middle
running hit, middle or weak side linebacker.
He would play middle here, I think. He plays outside at Wake Forest, but he is a tackle machine.
Well, then why would it be such a no-brainer that the Jaguars would take him at 8?
Because he is such a lock to be a top player. He can play in space. He can hold the point. You know, he can take on blockers. He can run and hit, and he can stand and defend.
Well, we'll find out Saturday. Our coverage begins at 4:00 Saturday afternoon, right here on News Talk Radio WOKV. Vic and Jeff and Cole and I and even Joe Fortunato will be here. We'll have words from the head coach after the pick, along with general manager Gene Smith. So everything you want to know on Saturday as you're out in your car, working in the yard, piddling around the garage, tune us in. We'll keep you up to date on the 2009 NFL Draft. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Fun as always. Have a great night, everybody. Good weekend.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, such as the Association of Firefighters in Duval, Nassau, Clay, and St. John's Counties, and Community First Credit Union, the home of First Down Touchdown for teachers. Jaguars This Week is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.